From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Congress today passed a $280 billion bill to subsidize domestic production of computer chips and invest in science and technology innovation. Computer chips are used in everything from cell phones and cars to ships and airplanes. Alaska's sole vote on the bill was U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's. He voted no. His office said he didn't have time this week for an interview on the subject. In a recent speech on the Senate floor, he said the bill discriminates against Alaska Native corporations. The 1,000-page semiconductor bill describes roles for tribal governments and tribal colleges. Alaska Native corporations aren't specifically mentioned. Senator Lisa Murkowski was absent for the vote. She tested positive for COVID recently and was isolating in Alaska this week. She issued a statement saying she would have voted yes on the bill to boost U.S. economic growth and national security and to resolve supply chain problems. The vote in the Senate was 64 to 33. In the House, the bill also passed with bipartisan support. Alaska hasn't had a representative there since the death of Congressman Don Young in March. Members of the public have until Friday to submit input about the future of the Gulf of Alaska climate change research to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Science Center is collecting public comments as part of its draft research plans for the Gulf of Alaska, the Eastern Bering Sea, and the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. The plans will guide research decisions through 2024 as part of the agency's Climate Science Regional Action Plans. NOAA first rolled out its climate action plans for Alaska fisheries in 2015. The nearly 100-page Gulf of Alaska draft plan calls for continued study of the effects of marine heat waves on Pacific cod, studies on temperature and ocean acidification, and the socioeconomic effects of climate change on fishing communities, among other recommendations. Members of the public can submit comments by visiting the NOAA Fisheries website. The deadline is tomorrow, July 29th. Federal officials announced plans today to spend $401 million in grants and loans to expand the reach and improve the speed of internet for rural residents, tribes, and businesses in 11 states, including Alaska. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters that farmers, store owners, school children, and people seeking telehealth medical checkups will benefit from the programs. Four children are dead in what Alaska State Troopers say was a murder-suicide in Fairbanks. A trooper dispatch says officers responded to a call about shots being fired on Tuesday afternoon at a home in the Skybridge Drive subdivision. It says they found four children dead from gunshot wounds and three other youth at the residence uninjured. The parents were not home. Troopers say one of the children, a 15-year-old boy, shot the three siblings and then himself. The Office of Children's Services has been notified, and the bodies of the four dead youth are being sent to the state medical examiner's office. If you're in a crisis and need to talk to someone, dial 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The Ironman Alaska Triathlon in Juneau is less than 2 weeks away, and athletes are scrambling after Alaska Airlines notified them that bicycles shipped through them may not arrive in time for the triathlon. In an email to customers on Tuesday, Alaska Airlines said that applies to bikes checked as baggage or shipped by Alaska Air Cargo. The airline steered athletes to the Ironman organization to find other shipping options.
I invested a lot of training. It's a little frustrating to think of all the training I put in and this close, and then everything kind of raveled and fell apart at the last minute.
Suzanne Reinhardt is a college administrator in the Chicago area who's been doing Ironman races for a decade. Now 51, she says she was looking forward to doing her last full-length Ironman in Alaska. After she got the email from the airline, she looked into last-minute couriers. The options are limited and expensive. Some require disassembling the bike. Alaska Airlines offered her an earlier flight to Juneau to beat the rush, but that would mean spending a lot more on accommodations, taking more time off work, plus extra headaches coordinating with her travel companion. She decided to cancel her whole trip.
The bike thing was the last straw for me. So that was an absolute, at this point, I'm not going to put forth more money into it. And hassle, because of the accommodations, are really difficult. And not having a car and trying to coordinate, you know, rebuilding it and paying $1,000 maybe each way to get my bike back and forth.
Mike Arabia is still headed to the race from Southern California. He says he got similar quotes for shipping his bike from UPS and FedEx, but he was able to get an assurance in writing from an Alaska Airlines agent that his bike would arrive by Friday next week.
I'm going to have to cross my fingers and hope that this agent that I chatted with yesterday is correct and that my bike makes it there before race day.
Like Reinhardt, he's unhappy about the last-minute communication for a foreseeable problem. It's too late now, but affordable third-party options for shipping bikes are available with more notice.
Shame on Ironman. Shame on Alaska Airlines for not coordinating early.
Ironman did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a statement, Alaska Airlines says they've been communicating with the Ironman organization for the last year with a goal to convey key travel information to athletes. The airline says its email to customers about bike capacity was a backstop, quote, in the event they had not heard from the Ironman organization. Other athletes do appear to be opting for some of those expensive shipping options. Ken Hill owns the shop Juno Bike Doctor. He saw a thread about the bike issue on Facebook on Tuesday and offered up his shop as a place for people to send and store their bikes.
So we just decided to kind of put that out there and say, hey, if you need a place to ship to, we can at least receive it for you. The phone's been going crazy and our Facebook messages as well. I literally can't step away from my computer without it piling up.
Within 24 hours, he says 30 to 40 people took him up on the offer. He says he expects bikes to start showing up on Monday. Travel Juno, Juno's destination marketing organization, has been working closely with the race organizers. Executive Director Liz Perry says the race organizers and airline are working together to smooth things out. Researchers in the Sitka Tribe of Alaska are trying to figure out how far subsistence herring eggs travel across the state and beyond each spring. The distribution network for herring eggs is complex and far-reaching. They are traditionally gathered on hemlock branches in Sitka Sound each spring. It's estimated that around 87% of the eggs harvested out of Sitka are given away. Eggs are often shared several times before they reach their final user. Kyle Rosendale is a fish biologist for the tribe. He says they've been surveying harvesters in the postseason since 2002. This year, they're expanding their survey efforts to include folks on the receiving end of the eggs. Rosendale says the tribe hopes the data will paint a picture of the overall reach of local herring eggs, as well as inform future research. Participants who fill out a survey will be entered in a drawing to win cash prizes. You can find a link to the survey at kcaw.org. Biologists say Alaska's known population of Aleutian terns has declined more than 90% since 1960. Now a group of scientists is working on a statewide count to make sure they aren't overestimating the decline. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
If researchers are right, this is the fastest decline of any seabird species in Alaska. And it's all the more serious because there just aren't that many Aleutian terns here to begin with.
It certainly feels like we are watching the species slowly disappear.
Heather Renner has been a biologist at Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge for about two decades.
The seabird group had been kind of hearing stories of declines in Aleutian terns as long as I've worked here. Really, the problem has been that nobody's been studying them.
There are an estimated 30,000 Aleutian terns worldwide, but Renner's research showed only about 5,000 of the birds nest in the state. That prompted a collective effort to understand and conserve them. Studying a migratory bird in a place as big as Alaska is not easy. Aleutian terns spend only 3 to 4 months a year here. Their range includes the whole coast of Alaska and extends nearly 10,000 miles to places like Indonesia, the Philippines, and Borneo.
Aleutian terns are notoriously hard to study because they nest in pretty small colonies and they're not very clustered. We also know that they tend to move around, so our little short-term snapshots are challenging to interpret.
The same characteristics that make them hard to study make them a sought-after find for birders and outdoor enthusiasts.
Aleutian terns are a really special bird that not everybody gets to see. They're not well-known to many Alaskan birders because many of the colonies are off of the road system.
They have silver-gray bodies and a black head like Arctic terns. But Aleutian terns have a distinctive white patch on the forehead. They feed by plunge diving into the sea. It isn't unusual anymore for a bird species population to crash. One study says that the entire bird population in North America has declined by about a third since the 1970s. Renner says biologists don't know what's causing the Aleutian terns' precipitous decline.
The challenge is that we don't have a local threat that's known, a single thing that we can fix. My best guess is that it's related to something in the marine environment.
One study pinned a die-off of Arctic terns to algal toxins that get to terns through the fish in their diet. But Renner says even though Aleutian terns also eat those fish, it's hard for her to imagine that could account for such broad-scale, range-wide declines over several decades. Yakutat has the largest known breeding colony of Aleutian terns in the state, at Black Sand Spit. Less than 10 years ago, there were up to 2,000 birds at the site.
And then the last couple of years, it's been only several hundred.
Susan Ohlers is a biologist for the U.S. Forest Service there. She says there's a lot of variability in the yearly population count, even at what's considered a stable nesting area. That number has dropped into the hundreds before. She says when numbers drop, it could mean that some of the birds are nesting elsewhere. But the dramatic downward trend has spurred action among bird biologists statewide. The working group has members from several different state and federal agencies. They're doing direct counts, but also using tools like drones and song meters
to really, really get a handle on that number and, you know, validate and provide additional information from that 2015 paper.
They plan to have a solid population estimate in the next couple of years. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempold.
And one last bird story. There will be no poultry at this year's Tanana Valley State Fair. Fair Board President Colleen Turner says the decision was made because of the threat of avian influenza.
We really felt that it was in the best interest of people who bring their poultry to the fair that we make sure that they're safe and that we don't cause any undue harm to those animals. And so that's why we made that decision, and it was thoroughly vetted with our livestock committee and the state vet and our board of directors.
Turner says the decision also took into account the fairgrounds location next to Creamer's Field Migratory Waterfowl Refuge.
They've actually had birds there infected. That made it a higher risk, and so we really felt like we could not have the poultry here because of that.
The Tanana Valley State Fair starts Friday. And a quick look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area tonight. Rain showers, lows in the mid-50s, light winds. Friday, chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-60s. More news online at ktoo.org. And that's it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, July 28th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.